Bible or a smartphone or something, because I'm not sure where I'm going, but I just thought of a verse. I want to share it with you. I've been sharing this verse. Let me see. I think it's, let me find it. It's 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 13. It must be 1 Chronicles 13. No, what am I talking about? Joshua. Boy, that's a long ways away from Joshua, isn't it, huh? I'm trying to think and talk at the same time. It's hard. It's hard for me to even think, never mind do anything else. Joshua 13, verse 1 is a verse that I get a kick out of, because I'm getting older now. I'll be 77 in November, God willing, November 18th, if you want to get me something. And God, if I make it, 77. I never thought I'd see 77. We don't have long lineage in my family. And I got a kick out of this, and I get a kick out of it because Joshua says here, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. Joshua, I can picture it now, Joshua saying, well, I'm old, stricken in years. And God replies back, yes, you're old and stricken in years. How do you like that? I mean, you go before God and say, God, I'm old and stricken in years. And God says, yes, you are. You're old and stricken in years, but yet there's much land to be possessed. So even though we're old, anybody else here old and stricken in years? Okay. Well, that's a verse for us. There's a verse for you. It's easy. Joshua 13:1, and you can remember that and use that if you want to. I've been using it everywhere I go since I've been retired. Retired a year ago this month. Been in Lisbon 37 years, 7 years in Sagamore, well, in South Portland, wherever I was, and then a year or so up in Phillips, Maine, that Brother Walt Schlemmer, I can't say it properly, he took it over, and God allowed me to open it up, get the building and everything, and that's a good thing. And so we been pastoring for a while, and but God is good, and now I'm old and well stricken in years. But yet, God's got more work for me to do. And take your hand, put it up in front of you, and blow on it. You do that? You feel the wind on your hand? That means you're alive, okay? And so that means God can still use you, and God wants to use us. So we're on this new journey. Betty and I are on this new journey. And as I'll share with you, is anybody not going to be here during church? You're going to backslide and skip out of church? Anybody? You're going to be here during church? Well, maybe I'll tell everybody at once why she's not here, unless I forget it, and I probably will forget it. And if I do and you want to know why she wasn't here, we're still together, and we're going to hang together. We're not separated yet. We just lived together 5 months in an 8x32 room, and we both lived. Amen. So I guess if we can do that, we're all right. We were in Florida. Somebody said about going to Florida. Oh, I guess it was Dick. I guess Dick goes to Florida in the winter. Is that correct? So there's at least two smart people here. But, you know, think about this. Even the birds go south in the winter. So that ought to tell you something. Amen. So we went down there. We had a wonderful time, Betty and I, in our time. And preaching, we got, I'm not asking for meetings. Thank you so much for having us, for the pastor calling us. I love you, Pastor. Boy, he's a good man. You could hold on to him. Boy, they're hard to find. Pastors are hard to find. So hold on to him. Keep him for a while. Treat him nice. Be nice to him. Even if you have to lie a little bit, God will forgive you for it. And say nice things about him, how handsome he is, how well he can speak, and all those things that we like to hear, and how young he looks. Amen. Just butter him up, because there'll be somebody behind you that'll tear him down. Right? And the devil attacks, and he tries to hurt God's church. And he's a smart one. He's a sly old fox, as the little song goes to the kids. You might remember that. But we're having a great time, still saved, going to heaven. Had 2:30 this morning, got another great granddaughter, and Scotland is her name, named after her grandfather. Yeah, her grandfather, Scott Libby. And Scott Lynn, some of you folks know that name, maybe. I think you maybe know it, some of them. And Christopher and his wife, to be, I guess. I don't know how to say that now, but he's doing good. He's doing good. He's sober in a program. And if you know, he had a problem with drugs. And That's his sin that shows. Thank God your sin don't show. Amen. You'd be embarrassed. You wouldn't come to church today if your sin showed. And some sin shows, some doesn't. But it's all sin and wrong. But anyways, the devil's attacking. I don't know why I said all that or where I am or what my name is, but let's look in the Bible. Let's look in the Bible. He does attack. I want to, in our Bible study this morning, talk to you about some of the ways the devil can attack and the way he's after us and trying to hurt us and hurt the church. If you'd look with me, now that little thing in Joshua was just something that came to my mind. I thought was, it tickled me a little bit. I said, maybe you can use it. He's old and well stricken in years, yet there's much work to be done. Amen. So no excuse for a little bit of age or gray hair. There's much work yet to be done. God still got us here. We're still alive, still kicking. So that means we still got a job to do. Amen. So we need to get at it and make our time here on earth count. Grab your Bibles, follow along with your Bible, and when you find the verse, I'm going to mention the verse or two. And when I do, I'd like you, when you find it, I'd like you to say amen. If you use a smartphone, you should be way ahead of me. And I'll still be looking for it probably. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 is where we're going to start possibly if I got the right verses. And sometimes I might get the wrong verse written down, but I went over this a little bit this morning. Thank you. God bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And lest Satan should get... Now, what are we going to talk about in our Bible study? How the devil... The devil attacks God's people. Amen. The devil hates you. He hates me. He hates us just because he hates us. We're made in the image of God. And when he looks at you and I, he sees God. And he hates God. And he's no good. He's a liar. And he hates you. You can't make a deal with the devil. I think about people making a deal with the devil. They have the thought, maybe the unsaved, or maybe the backslidden Christian, or maybe you, God forbid. Well, if I kind of just take it easy and kind of make a deal with the devil, he'll lay off. That's not true. That's a lie. He won't lay off. He's out to destroy you. And you say, well, why would he destroy me? Because he hates you. He's spiteful. He wants to destroy you just so he can say, ha, 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 I got another one. To God and to everybody around. So don't ever forget that. And he's a liar. I want to tell you something about the devil. The devil can't tell, he can't tell the truth. Remember the story, I thought about this, and I'm just giving it to you. I'm just having fun this morning, okay? Remember the story when the devil tempted Jesus? And he told Jesus, he says, you bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all this stuff. Everything that you see, I'll give it to you. Remember that in the Bible? He was lying. He was never going to give that to the Lord. Now, he owns it. He has a control of it. He's the prince and power of the air, and we might touch on that here now, but his days are numbered. And but he was just lying. He was just lying. He was never going to do that. And he was just trying to get Jesus to do something wrong. And of course, Jesus couldn't because he's God, and that's another story. But you think about that. He was lying. And when the devil says to you, well, if you do this over here, you'll feel real good, or you'll be real happy, or this will be the answer. Not if it's against the Bible. He's lying to you. He's lying to you. And sometimes he gets at our flesh, and he gets in our flesh and says, well, if you're over here and you do this, you can enjoy that, enjoy this. If it's contrary to the Bible, he's lying to you. He's lying to you anyway. He's a liar. And the Bible says in John chapter 8, he's a liar and the father of liars. He cannot tell the truth. So just remember that. And he was just lying to Jesus. He had no intention. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, God tells us something. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Look at this last phrase now. This is what we're going to look at just a little bit in Bible study. For we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, are you ignorant of how Satan attacks? Maybe in some places you haven't thought about some ways that he attacks. But God says here he doesn't want us to be ignorant. You need to, you know, keep your what do they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer or something like that. Know your friends, but know your enemy better. If we know, if we knew our enemy and knew how he attacks, we'd be able to better defend ourselves against him. Doesn't that make sense? And so God says here, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant of how the devil attacks us. You got it? Amen. That's what he says here. Don't be ignorant of how he attacks us. So how does he attack? Well, he's out of his mind mad. Now look over with me, follow with me, find, let me get you the verse, Revelation 12, 12. See if you find it before I do. Revelation 12, 12. In Revelation 12, 12, let's see, I'm one chapter away here. Got it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Is that what yours says? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe to the of the sea. Look at this phrase now. For the devil is come down unto you. What? Having great wrath. Why? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, the devil knows the Bible. He knows it better than you and I. He misquotes it, and he teaches false doctrine. He uses it against us if he can, but we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices. And it says here in Revelation 12, 12, now that's a little bit down the road, just a little bit, but the principle's the same. He knows his time is running out. Now, I ask you a question. I'm asking questions that I know the answer of, and I know you know the answer of, but have you ever seen days like the days we're living in? Have you ever seen stuff going on like it's going on today in this day and age? Could you ever imagine, folks at my age or younger, there's nobody here older than me, I'm the oldest one, and it's awful to go to churches and be the oldest person in every church. It's terrible. But he's old and well stricken in years, but there's a lot of work yet to do, amen? But I never would have dreamed that I would be seeing. Now, I got saved at 25. I was a hellraiser of all hellraisers, like some of you. But thank God that's the way we used to be. Amen? But even then, I never saw what's going on or imagined what could be going on today. We're down in Florida last winter. And, of course, you know in Florida people don't wear clothes. You don't need them. It's hot all the time. So all the women take all the clothes off. And the men that are you and I age walk down the beach with Speedos. Have you ever seen such a disgusting look in your life? Scare you to death. And the women are trying to do the same thing. It's just naked city. And we were riding out, and we were down to Brother Ware's church in Orlando. He's a good friend of mine. We just get along good. And we're riding down the street. Had one of the workers. We were going after something. We was going Home Depot for something. And he was talking about the nakedness and everything. I said, listen, according to the Bible, you haven't seen nothing yet. You wait till you see men on the street committing homosexual acts and women and men on the street. You say, you never see that. I never thought I would see what I'm seeing today.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And that's happened in my generation.
Right.
And it's gone out of control. And I never would have thought that we would be able to take a baby partially out of the womb and stick a pin in the back of their head and kill it. And I never thought that we would see that.
Amen.
Isn't that awful? You say, that's disgusting. Well, that's because you and I haven't been on the ball and getting out and voting and taking our part and pushing back this wickedness. You know, I have people come to me and complain all the time, like I'm complaining now. Complain all the time. I had one fella complain. You don't even vote. You don't even vote, and you're complaining to me. If you're not voting and taking part and fighting it back, shut your mouth. You got no right to talk if you ain't doing something about it. It's a cheap shot to talk about it, not do nothing about it. Can I hear an amen on that? I mean, that's man, woman, or anybody. In my opinion, and of course, my opinion is just my opinion. But anyways, where was I? He knows. And we see wickedness. You know, we don't have TV, we don't have internet and all that stuff. I have a smartphone. I don't have it. There's nothing you can watch on TV anyway. And but we got an antenna, and we do watch Andy Griffin sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
Doing an advertisement for him again. I don't know how I got off on that. But he knows that his time is short. So he's pulled out all the stops. He's going full bore to destroy you, destroy society, and destroy our blessed country. So them two songs, them patriotic songs we just sung, didn't it touch your heart to sing those songs? Didn't it? It stirred my heart when we sang those songs. Coming down, I was listening to Billy Graham, and I heard him talk about the lady that sang patriotic songs and how it just, it you know, I'm an emotional person like you are, but I mean, it just makes shivers go up your spine. Amen. To the country, and Brother John said it, the country that we once knew. You say, are you old? If you're young here today, as young as you are, amen, Roxanne, just a kid, and you say, man, you're old, and you're old folk, and you're just... No. We remember how it was, kind of like the folks when they rebuilt the temple. They cried, and the young kids were shouting, hallelujah, because what a beautiful temple. And the old folks were crying because they said, you should have seen what it was in the Old Testament. If you know the Bible a little bit, do you know what I'm talking about? Just shout amen. Say amen or old me or something. Don't just sit there and look at me. I don't know if you're alive or dead. Just put your hand up and blow on it. Okay, you're alive. Good, good, good. I'm just teasing with you. Come on, lighten up a little bit. I'm teasing with you. Goodness sakes, we're friends. I'm not your enemy. But he knows his time is short. Now, look in, find, we got to roll because I'm off track. If you hadn't asked those questions, I wouldn't have got off track. So it's your fault. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. As soon as you get it, say amen. 2 Timothy 3, 1. There's one, there's two, that's enough. The three of us, that makes a majority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now look, the devil, we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. He's crazy mad in his mind. He hates you and I with a passion. He's out of control in his hate. That's why he makes so many mistakes. He attacks you and I, tries to tear us down and tries to rip us up. And God is over watching over us, taking care of us, and guiding us, and protecting us, and making a fool out of him. Amen? Amen. Stay with the Lord. Amen. Stay with the Lord. Keep God. You say, well, God's on my side. Forget about God being on your side. You get on God's side. Amen? That's the right side. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also. Now look what he says, that in the last time. That is in the last, well, actually, days. He says in the last days. Is that what yours says? Yes. In the last days. Perilous times shall come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you think we're there? I mean, honestly, don't you think we're there? What else has to happen before Jesus comes? Right. Is there anything else that can happen before Jesus comes? The stops are pulled out. The world has gone nuts. And some Christian people are getting sucked into it. You know what the Bible tells what Jesus said? Now, correct me. Correct me. I want you to correct me. Jesus says, narrow is the way that goes where? Narrow is the way that goes where? Yeah. Amen. Narrow is the road that leads to life. What's the other? That's not all of it. And... yeah, straight is the gate. Yes, that's good. Brother, you know your Bible. You should be teaching this class. And wide is what? To weigh the destruction. You know what it's like? Hey, how many here love the Lord Jesus? Not perfect, but you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. You know what it's like? Did you ever get caught in a riptide? Anybody here ever get? I did. Scared me to death. My daughter, Michelle, saved my life. This maiden, just got it. I'm not a good swimmer, but I got a good floating device. And I got caught in that stupid thing in Florida. And she helped me out. Now, here it is. Narrow's the way that leads up. Here's the wide gate coming at us. Full bore. Coming at us. Coming at us. Coming at us. And we're pushing our way. Pushing our way. Pushing our way. Getting around. They're just pushing. Coming. Wide is the gate. Many there be that go that way. They go this way. They're pushing at us. Oh, come with me. Come with me. Come and see this. Go over and do this. Don't go to church over here. You don't need that stuff. Oh, you can do anything you want. You can live any way you want. You can do what you want. Don't pay attention to Pastor Willette. Don't pay attention to the church. Don't. All that Christian is just an old stuffy, fussy. What? What do you call somebody that? Fuddy-duddy. Okay, that'll work. And you're going the narrow way, pushing our way, clearing the path, getting out of the way, get pulled back. Getting going again. This crowd pushing you back. I'm going this way. The whole world's going that way. What's wrong with you? love the Lord. And the Bible says that's the straight way. That's the narrow way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
That's what it's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turn that boob tube on. Turn the radio on. It's all pushing the other way. Sure. Listen to the crooked politicians.
Yeah.
They can't even put their shoes on. They have to screw them on. That's what it's like, isn't it? That's what it's like living in this world. But one day, one day,
right.
I was kidding with you. Is this being live streamed or anything? Hope not. I hope not. Too late now, I guess, huh? Our air conditioner went out on our motorhome. It's 17 years old. And so it stopped working. So I told Betty, I was looking it up on the internet. I said, I can buy one of those things and put it on myself. And she said, I told some of the folks this morning, she said, you ain't getting up on that roof. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any man here know what I'm talking about? Your wife trying to tell you what to do and your mind's already made up?
Yeah,
amen? Save your breath. Don't confuse us with facts. Our mind's already made up.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. You ain't going up on that roof. We know a couple of preachers that fell off the roof and killed themselves. And she said, you know what happened to so-and-so? You know what happened to so-and-so? Now, you folks don't enjoy that relationship with your wife like I do. That's enjoyment. Amen? My daughter was over the other day. She said something about us arguing or something. I said, we're not arguing. We're just discussing. We don't argue. We're too old. And certainly too old to fight. Forget that. That's too much energy. Amen? And you ain't going up on that roof. You fall off, break your neck. And I thought about it driving down here this morning. This was this morning's discussion before we came. And now it's too late. I'm already being taped, and you're going to hold that against me. So somebody will. Somebody will call me out. Probably. Maybe I better not go home too quick this afternoon. But then I got to think about it coming down. I've been praying. I don't want to go to heaven the long way. You know what I'm talking about? That's, why is it? I just preached the funeral of a very godly man yesterday. Very godly man. Love the Lord. I mean, if you was to picture a man that loved the Lord, that lived by the Bible, Cliff Bickford did. I mean, he did. A little older than I, 82, 83. Him and one of my older brothers was buddies back in the day. And both got saved around the same time. Life changed. He went to heaven inch by inch. And it was awful. And I said to him at the funeral, why is it sometimes that some of the most godly people have the hardest time to get to heaven? And you don't know the answer, neither do I. But God does. And that he's chosen the way to go. So I got thinking about that. And I've been praying already. How many here want to go to heaven when you're sleeping if Jesus don't come? Amen. How many here want to go the long, hard way? Nobody in their right mind. We all, especially our age, I think the majority of us outnumber you young pups that are still wet behind the ears. And we know how to live. You haven't even learned anything yet, Jason. So, oops, just slipped out, brother. And I've been praying and say, God, I want to go to heaven in a bolt of lightning. I'd like to go to heaven with a massive heart attack. I want to go to heaven. And I got to think about it. If I fell off the camper and broke my neck, I'd go to heaven. And then the thought came, nope. I'd make you live in a wheelchair for another 30 years. That's what you deserve. And I said, peace, amen, God knows. But that was my answer for her sarcastic remark that I'm old and I'll fall off the roof.
Yeah.
Kids fall off the roof, but people with experience don't, amen. You can't beat experience. You got these young whippersnappers, they got all this knowledge and all these degrees. They got more degrees than a thermometer, but they ain't got enough wisdom to come in out of the rain, so to speak. You said the same things I'm saying. You just didn't say it publicly. You said it quietly or in your mind and thought it about somebody. Somebody say amen. He knows that his time is short. This know also in the last days, perilous brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to lighten up a little, because when you look and you're fighting, go the narrow way. We know that we're in the last days. Amen. We see it. We're living in it. The world out there sees it. I have these little tracts that I give out. Some really good news. It's just very, very, very simple. Really good news. Because it is.
Amen.
And that's that Jesus saves. Amen. That's the good news that we have. This is crazy. And look at verse 2. God, this is today's newspaper, Sunday paper. For men shall be loved. Have you got it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own souls. Boy, we've seen that. Covetous. Boy. Money, 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 money. Amen. Money, 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 money. Things, 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 things. For the Christian, for you and I, when we look at this, and I remind myself, and we should all. You know when Jesus tells us in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it is, where he talks about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Have you ever read that verse? Yeah. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about in that verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn out. So that's things. But gold, silver, precious stones, that's people. That's not going to burn up. People are not going to burn up. Now, we know that some are going to go to hell. They're not going to burn up. They're going to burn forever. But wood, hay, and stubble is all going to burn. Covetousness, things, and things we've given our life to. You and I both have gone to some of our friends that have passed and see the children take over and try to deal with all of their junk. It's awful, isn't it? And stuff that's precious to us is junk to them. And I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen them pull a dumpster up and clean a man's house out and fill half the dumpster with junk that he's collected his whole life. The story of the rich man that said, I'm right at retirement age now. I'm going to take it easy. And build some bigger barns and store all my stuff and have it all there. And Jesus said, I didn't say it. Jesus said in the Bible says, thou fool, tonight you're checking out. And who's all that junk going to be? You may have seen it. You may have experienced it. Kids come in or somebody come in or whatever, people come in. This is all your precious junk that you've gathered all the years. Some of it might be expensive junk. Some of it could be expensive hobbies or whatever. But the bottom line is what we're thinking about, and I got to stop in about 2 minutes, I think. And I didn't look at my watch, but we're right close to stopping time. A lot of this stuff may have cost a lot of money, may be a lot of money invested, but it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn up. Covetous times. We are living in covetous times. In our church in Lisbon, I built some storage, God, but we built some storage barns so we could have an income coming in to pay for our gymnasium, and it's wonderful. But you wouldn't believe the money people spend. I've had to clean some of that stuff out. And I said, we got one fella that's been renting for 5 years. And I looked at his storage. I said, I wouldn't give you the $100 for the whole thing. And he's been paying it for 5 years. 5 times 12 is how much? Anybody know?
60.
I mean, you could have bought a brand new house almost for that. And, well, you used to be able to. You can't now. You can't buy a doorknob now for that. But wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
Wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, precious stones is people. God loves people. Jesus died for you and I. He died for people. He didn't die for the junk.
Nope.
Think of that beautiful temple Solomon built. The money that King David put into that. The money that people gave. Where is it? Where is it? But the people are still alive. In heaven or in hell. And it's our responsibility to spread the gospel, spread the good news. Amen. Because that's gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. That's not going to burn up. All the things that we give our life to. It's depressing, isn't it, to some? Isn't it depressing to get to the end of your life And all you got to show for it is money, things, houses, lands, boats, cars, and it's all going to burn, and you're going to leave it all behind. But if we got some gold, silver, and precious stones, we're going to take that with us. That's eternal. Amen? Isn't that good? Oh, you're so kind. You guys are great. Well, almost great. Well, you're pretty good. Well, you're saved. Amen. I'm teasing. Boy, you guys are stiff, I tell you. But God is good. The devil's mad, and I'm glad. And I know how to please him. Quit serving God and going to church, and you'll please him. Amen. Let's just keep him mad. And listen, for you and I, it's not a picnic lunch.
Nope.
It's a battleground. We're against this old world. And they're against us. And we're against Satan and all his wicked devices that he wants to use to destroy you and I. We're against it. Amen. We're going the hard way. The Christian life is a tough job if you want to be a Christian. And it's a tough job. And it takes commitment. And you and I can't do it on our own. We need supernatural power. And that supernatural power comes when you get born again. If you're here this morning and you haven't been born again and you're trying to fight a battle and live a holy life in the flesh, you haven't made it, you'll never make it. You need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For in Christ we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Amen. So if you don't, you say, well, I can't stop drinking. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop the pornography. I can't stop beating up my husband. I can't stop whatever. You can't do it in the flesh. You need Christ.
Amen.
And you got to be born again before you can grow. So if you're here this morning and you ain't saved, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. And you'll never make living the Christian life. You'll never be able to stop those bad habits. But if you've got Christ, you've got the power of God living inside of you, and you can live for God through him that strengthens us. Father, thank you, God, for the folks that are here this morning. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the honor to preach to them. God bless. Help us, Lord. Help me next hour to help your people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Well, God bless you guys. I'll give a good report to Pastor about you.